The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
The pellet with the poisons in the vessel with the pestle, the chalice of the palace has the brew that is true.
The Frank is on. The Frank is on. The Frank is on.
And if you missed that,
the Frank is on.
Some of us have great stories. Noodle salad, good. Pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and good. Noodle salad, boats and friends and good. Noodle salad. But a lot of people, that's their story. Noodle salad. Boats and friends and boats and friends and good times. Noodle salad. Noodle salad. That's their story. Noodle salad. Noodle salad. Noodle salad. What makes it so hard is not that you had it bad, but noodle salad. Good. 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 That's their story. Noodle salad.
Look out! Because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, here it comes. I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this. Wait. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on, everyone. You will be there, and we will be there with you when you are there. What is it?
Cthulhu Chronicles.
It's post time. Broadcasting, the best darn thing you're ever going to hear on this contraption called the interweb. I'm the godfather of internet radio. And bow to me! Take that, Joe. Joe, not that Joe. Joe and the other guys and everything, I don't know. No, I do know. I know very well. Because none of them could be the third man or the vegetable man. I am all these men because no one else can be. Even individually, these men. My name is Frank. I told all the man whose name joins the title of the show. Stay here. There are things going on that you will hear nowhere else. And that you will really be thankful for hearing tonight. Ice cap to ice cap, from the hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. Listen to this voice. It's crisp. Listen to it. Is this not a voice that is like no other voice on radio? I was thinking today. I swear to you, I don't know what happened. I never know what happens, but I don't know what happened. But I started to think, you know, everybody, doesn't matter who they are on in broadcasting. Okay? Everyone in broadcasting, the podcasters, the broadcasters, the AM, the FM, whoever they are, all of them, they're missing a real important quality in their personalities. See, what do they really do? They really just talk and they do nothing else. Okay, they think, and sometimes you may disagree with what they think about or not, or they have a topic they think about, or they're wise asses or wise guys or smart gals, whatever it is, okay? They're batches of, you know, noised words. And that's okay. I'm just saying this. Most of them are uni-talented. And what I mean is, if their talent is to talk, to read a script, to follow a script, to interview someone, fine. That's what they do then, okay? I need a little more volume here. I do this all by myself. How many of them could do it all by themselves? I know. I just feel this way, and I'm boasting because there's a reality in this, okay? And the reality is this. How many of them do other things? Do they paint? Oh, I'm a painter and I can do a broadcast or some kind of cast, right? How many of them can do that? How many of them can, what else did they do? They fix cars. That's a talent. Yeah. I know what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is I come here and I do this. And there are many other things I do. I don't even do this for a living. I don't even want to do this for money. Okay? All of them have different ideas. And that doesn't bother me. It's just that I realized that when it comes to multi-things, when it comes to multi, and I don't want to say talents, I want to say, multi-professions, I don't know, multi-things, there's only me. And I know why this happens, why this is a thing. Because most of them were influenced by other people who did not do a bunch of things. Now, my life has been filled with lots of things that I've done, things that I still do, things that I don't do anymore, but different areas of artistry. Okay? All right. And I don't think a lot of them have that, and that makes me special. It does. I could walk over to my piano and sing you a song. You know, if you heard over the years, I've done Cotolo cafes. I've sat here with my guitar and sang songs. The whole show. I made up songs. Not only that, how about writing them? Huh? So when I talk to people who do things, I appreciate what they do. And I also, I'm a writer. I got books. But here's the deal. The deal is those people who are doing podcasts and even the comedians who do podcasts are just talking. And so they do comedy, okay? And they bring that to the mic to do podcasts because, you know, you can't go anywhere and do a show. But even if they did it, they're comedians. So there's that. Now, some of them become actors, but that's later, okay? But right now, in the area of just broadcasting and podcasting, and you know, because if you were here a couple of weeks ago, I went through all the top podcasts, you know, because we had Ralph Sutton on, and we talked about the $100 million deal by Joe Sackamore, or whatever his name might be, okay? And they just do this. That's it, okay? And so, that's their personality. Their personality on the air. If you just listen to them even if they do one or two things, they'll still be that person. Okay? And what they bring to the airwaves, if these are airwaves, the air zeros and ones, the digital, virtual digital world, what they bring to the microphone, let's say. What do you bring to the mic? What they bring to the mic is not real, and it's thin, because it's just that. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with that when they do certain shows, because they do shows, and they have guests, and they do things, and I'm not saying it's not interesting. I'm just saying that it dawned on me that I do this based on my influences that were nothing like their influences. Nothing at all. And the only person I could imagine, well, imagine, that's a bad way to put it. An inspiration for broadcasting, if I had an inspiration for broadcasting, it would be a person who was like me, or I was like him because he was older, you know? But when you take a guy like, when you grow up listening to a guy like Gene Shepard, or especially Steve Allen, more than Gene Shepard, because Gene Shepard was top of the line, I mean, number one broadcaster in terms of bringing who he was as a writer and, you know, to the microphone and how he could, you know, just talk. And no one else was like him. That's where I'm getting at, okay? And Steve Allen, who had comedy, but did all these other things. But he was doing it while he was doing this. And I did some of my things while I was doing this because I've been doing this a long time. But it dawned on me there's no one else left. If there's anyone else out there who has this multiplicity about them, right? Then tell me. Write to me at fcatola@yahoo.com. Call me on Skype. The Skype's not on, you know, or whatever. You know, tell me. Tell me that you, like me, bring themselves to the microphone as a multiplicity. In their multiplicity. That's what we're going to say. I bring myself here in my multiplicity, which is why I'm the godfather of internet radio. Now, I'm not just the godfather of internet radio, right? I get to sit here for 20 years and talk about being the godfather of internet radio. Well, big deal. And I said big F-bomb deal. See? Who else would say big F-bomb deal? Why am I defending myself? Because I just noticed it today and it felt good. And anytime you could do something and feel good, that's fine with me. So but multiplicity, it's true. This is true. Now we're going to move on with this show. And there are a number of things. It just dawned on me. And I'm happy to be this person and bring it to you for nothing. Nothing. 20 what years? Nothing. There were days I could not eat because I didn't have enough food to fill his stomach. But Thursday came. Where was I? Where did I go? Right down here. Okay, fine. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. Today is just me and my multiplicity. I bring my multiplicity to you without a guest. We don't have a guest tonight, but we will have guests coming up in the future weeks. And I'll tell you about them. Then we're going to go, not right away. We're going to go if I have time. And I mean, if I have time, if I want to, if I don't talk through a certain amount of time, I'll put on this archive that people have been asking for. Maybe not a lot of people, but some people have been asking. I found it, and we're going to go back to 2012. If, only if, I'm done telling you all the things I have to tell you before that. You know, every time this show is going to go on, it seems like forever until I have to get down here. You say down here. Where? Well, the studio's... It's on ground level, but the house is such a way that upstairs is also ground level. Figure this one out, right? Well, yeah, who made this house? Frank Lloyd Wright made this house, designed this house. I kid you not. Jack Parr. What about Jack Parr? What did he do? He talked. And sometimes he was funny, but, you know, he was just a guy. Okay. Excuse me. Am I out of coffee? No. Yep. Okay. I get last minute ideas as I'm watching, usually it's Jeopardy. Okay. And, but tonight I had a Jeopardy idea. So I'm watching Jeopardy, waiting to, in it, there's dust. There are millions of little microbes and things in the air here. Okay. That just float around. Nothing particularly poisonous. Like I have in the garage. I've been, the fiber, the insulations. Do you know anything about insulation? The insulation stuff? Got to get rid of that stuff. Okay, let's go back to this. And I'm watching Jeopardy, and I get ideas all the time. I'm always with, as I told you, and as I tell you to do, if you want to retain great things that you think, you need to write them down. You need to be like Dr. Fablianek. I know I'm repeating myself, but there's so many people out there who have not heard this in the first place. What do you do after 20 years? You say things and you got to repeat things. You got new audiences. Old audiences have gone. God knows where they've gone, but, you know, there are people like they used to be who are even on this station. If you were here last week and you heard the show with Seven Graylins talking, I mean, he's one of the guys who started this thing called internet radio. Yeah. But the other podcast guys and everybody who's making money, you think they say, hey, I'm going to, no, forget it. That's not bitterness, by the way. No way. It is not bitterness. So I'm watching Jeopardy. I get these last minute ideas is what I'm saying before I go on the show. And it never works out. It's always exactly what happens after that, that thing I say. I after nightcap, it's not nightcap. Let's have a nightcap to nightcap. I'll say that next time. It's not that. It's more, whatever happens after that. An idea, something pops into my head and, I start talking about it like I did. I know I thought about what I talked about, this thing about me being on these, as you know, here on all these great stations that also carry me and our host network, SRN Media Works from Canada. Do you know that when we were the first, I don't know what happened to that Alaskan station. There was a station in Alaska, the first station to actually pick us up and make this, what was the first syndicated radio show from the internet. Yeah. I forgot that station. They were literally in Alaska. They must still be there, and I can't remember them. And we didn't keep a lot of notes through the years. But anyway, I do want to say this is fascinating. Here's something. Now, because Jeopardy is a question and answer thing, you know, you give the answer. Oh, no, but they give the answer, you give the question. That's the game. So, there was one that was amazing. It's, here's the answer. It was the strangest occupation of a Jeopardy contestant. It was the strangest occupation of a Jeopardy contestant. Anybody know that? And they go, yeah, but what am I going to do? You Google it? No, you're not allowed to do that with these contests. That's why you can't have these contests anymore. But then this is true. I kid you not. This is true. So if you know the question, right? See, because that's what they did on Jeopardy. So Mel Gibson, but not, that's what Merv Griffin did. You see, it becomes funny. This is what Merv Griffin said. You know, what if we did a show? I don't think I can imitate Merv Griffin. That's a hard one. What if they did a show? What if we did a show? Yeah, because he was always very, very kind of like, I don't know what, he was kind of like, I don't know. Is that not baby? He was kind of like, preppy. Is that preppy? No. Hello. He was kind of like that. Hey, let's do a show. Let's do a quiz show where we give the question. Hey, you know, let me tell you something about Merv Griffin, because Merv Griffin was, I'm not like Merv Griffin, but Merv Griffin was a broadcaster, but he had many things. Look, he created two of the longest running TV quiz shows ever. What's the second one? Is that still on? Wait, Jeopardy and what? He didn't make up the Wheel of Fortune, did he? No, he didn't do Wheel of Fortune. I forgot. He had one called Play Your Hunch, which went on or went off or what have you. And he had another one where Tom Savino, remember Tom Savino, everyone out there? Yeah, his father was on, Tom Savino's father, Lenny Savino, was on one of those Merv Griffin shows. But anyway, he had a lot of shows, not Tom's father, Merv. And then this one came about. And, you know, it's not a crazy idea. It's just that nobody ever did it. It's a very simple idea. And now Merv Griffin creates this show, and he calls it Jeopardy, which is a good title. It catches, right? And it means, you know what Jeopardy means. You don't know what it means, look it up. I'm not going to go through that. So he has this show. You really got to be smart. But in the beginning, you didn't have to be that smart. It got categories, and the categories, which it dawned on me, you know, these people are really smart, but the category is a giveaway, right? Because it says, here, words, did you ever see the funny Jeopardy thing they do, Celebrity Jeopardy they do on Saturday Night Live, or did, and do it anymore, but they did it, and it had very simple questions, categories. you know. Words that begin in A, right? I'll have words that begin in A for 200. And then, of course, as the price of the question grows, so the question becomes, I'm sorry, the answer, oh, it's weird. So the answer becomes more difficult. Very easy thing. Merv did this, and it was but it was so simple. So simple. Then Merv said, but you know what? There's gotta be music. Well, Merv Griffin, though you don't even know, maybe some of you don't even know, who is Merv Griffin, right? Well, you look it up. Probably a lot of you didn't know that Merv Griffin created, but not just created that particular show, aside from other ones. What was the second longest running? I don't know. We'll look it up later. That's why you write it down. You look it up later on your Google, on your Butler, or whatever it's called there. What is it? Yahoo? He said, this has got to have music. So what did Merv Griffin do? He sat down at the piano because he had a piano because he could play the piano and because he wrote songs, because he was originally a singer with a big band. He sang songs. In fact, he was popular for a song about coconuts. What was that English song about the coconuts? I've got a legend. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are all standing. I'll bet you if I found it on YouTube, I could play the Mel. It's not Mel. It's Merv. I could play the Merv Griffin. I could. Version of that. Maybe I'll do that right after I continue this. Right? Okay. So what did he do? He sat down and wrote the song. You know the song if you've ever seen the show Jeopardy. Da 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 da. I don't know if it has lyrics, and that's because I have this little hobby of mine. You know, I don't just change lyrics to certain songs. I actually write lyrics to songs that don't have lyrics, which are still songs, and it's just a hobby. So I didn't only just do this stuff. I didn't only just write music and play music. And I did professionally, got paid money. Okay, so I was doing that too. When I did radio and then comedy radio, I did regular radio. And then I went to Hollywood, I did radio there. I did some acting. Okay, that's all that stuff. That's why when I sit here, there's so much going on in my mind. And this stuff comes out and it's where I got everything. I'm not like, oh man, you know, I sit here with some guys who do podcasts and other radio shows now, and they go, and I mention things, and it's like, well, who? What are you talking about? 'Cause they don't know. And they should know. Okay, let's get back to the show here now. So anyway, you remember the answer? The answer is it's the strangest occupation of a Jeopardy contestant. And this comes straight from Alex Trebek. God bless. If there's God. And I'm going to get to that, too. God bless Alex Trebek. Still looks good every night. He gets out there. I don't know how he does it. My father died in no time with what he has now. Of course, my father didn't have the care he has, but I think that there's been a lot of progression in keeping people with pancreatic cancer alive. And of two friends, I had a very, very good friend who died in no time with it, and my father who died in no time. And in no time is probably a bad way to put it. That's like, you know, that's like the, okay, relax. Do you know the question? He goes, I don't know what was the answer, Frank. I forgot. So here's Mel, not Mel, Merv Griffin, who says, I'll write the theme. I'll put the show on. I'll get the whole thing ready. And then eventually, what does he do? He decides to do something else. Okay. And, leaves everything he created for other people to continue. But the song's still on there. Is that the song? He's written some other themes too, to TV shows and stuff. Okay, so he did all that stuff. Now the Seth MacFarlane, let's talk about him now, because he's this kind of guy. He doesn't do a podcast, but if he did, I don't know why he would do it. He's got albums out. I mean, he's a singer. He loves to sing, and he's a good singer. He draws, which is why the cartoon, and he writes comedy. He does a lot of things, Seth MacFarlane. Okay? So he's another one of those guys that does a lot of stuff. And celebrities, I did a show once about celebrities known for something who suddenly they don't change their profession, but they do something else. Let's say, for instance, Merv is not who I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about Rick, and he's not even Rick. His name is Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger, right, comes out. He's a singer. He does his thing. I can't get no satisfaction. Right? Jumping Jack Flash. He runs around. He does his stuff. And then suddenly they put him in a movie. They say, you know what? We'd like Mick Jagger's a guy who gets into a movie, never acted, but they put him in a movie because they like his name. This is Hollywood. It's a whole nother different conversation. The point is, he's in a couple of films which here and there gets good reviews and stuff like that. But he's never known as an actor. And he's, right? Never known. He's still this rock and roll guy with the Rolling Stones. That's it. He's that guy. So he could do all the movies he wants, but he'll never be known as an actor. And he'll always be a musician. And there's lots of people like that in the lexicon of, you know, celebrities. In the lexicon of celebrities, where everyone does lots of things and always, okay, dances and sings, right? You see, I can just write it on the spot like that. I'm going to tell you the answer to this, and then I'm going to do something. I need a little promotion, which you're going to love because it is October. Well, let's slate it, okay? If you're putting it in the time capsule. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotolo Chronicles on the 8th of October. October to November. November's in 2 months, I will be a year older. I will hit a landmark. Is it a landmark? A milestone. Why is it a milestone? I will, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the answer to the question. No, the answer is, see, I keep forgetting. Lots of these people, I did a show about it. If I could find it and you want to hear it, I'll find it. We'll play it. Okay, one night, I'll just play it without, okay, like I sound like, yeah, is that what you want? Okay, fine. You know, that's like a dad who goes like, you know, he's just, Dad, I want this, I want that, no, I want this. All right, Dad, go get it. See if I care. Yeah, well, you can't complaining about it and fighting me about it until finally, hey, that's what I sounded like. Okay, you want to hear that show? I'll just go find it somewhere, you know, but. Okay, here's the question, and this is true. Alex Trebek found this out on and told everyone because that person was on the show I watched. Okay, the answer. So I'll take hands. I'll take professions of Jeopardy contestants for 500. That would be the top, right? That would be the top one because you'd have to know it. Because, you know, you could just kind of have to come up with a profession. It's not one of those cheating ones, you know, where it's like something about, you know, presidents. If it says presidents, and then the question, you know the answer's got to be a president. See? So that's cheating. But if they tell you the question, they don't tell you the category, no good. And I'm sure Merv Griffin, sat down and said, yeah, I have to be very careful with these categories. Huh? Yeah. And then he did the Daily Double. Why? Because he owned racehorses. Yeah. He said, I'll call it a Daily Double. That's what they call the thing when you get to, right? So everything goes together. Everything just, this is how stuff works. Stuff. And you have stuff in your life and I have stuff in my life. Now, what is, you know what I should do? I'll do this. Yeah. This will be fun. Then I'll go back to that other thing. So I'll talk while I do that. While I do, because I have to do everything myself because I don't have an engineer. I'm going to give you the question and you're going to come up with the answer, but you're going to do it in real time. Jeopardy is one of those words. And I immediately start spelling it incorrectly. I don't know why. Jeopardy? Is it Jeopardy? Is it Jeopardy, right? No, you don't know, okay? Let's do this here. Here we go. Wow, that's amazing. Let me tell you, I'll do this one because this is the short version. Wow, wait till I tell you this. Here, let's see if this goes on without a commercial. Here comes. I don't think this is the original. You hear it? That doesn't sound like the original. Start it again here. Come on. Okay. This is for the Daily Double? Yeah, this is for double the money. Got the question? Time's running out. Okay. It is the strangest occupation ever by a contestant on the game of Jeopardy, TV show Jeopardy, that's right. Mel, not Mel Merv. Okay, do you have an answer? Well, what is sword swallower? Yeah, that's it. Sword swallower. Now you know something, right? That no one in your family probably knows. Maybe none of your friends. Maybe none of the teachers you had throughout your whatever grade you're in. If you're in the 10th grade, I bet you your 9th grade teacher didn't know that. Your 8th, 6th, and all the way down did not know that. But you know that now. And that's why you had time to think because Mel, not Mel, Merv Griffin's music came on. This is not the original, though. This is just someone doing it. But here's something. Oh, because here's something interesting about YouTube. This is amazing. Here says Jeopardy theme song, okay? I'm going to play this here for a second. Where is it? I'm going to play this, and I'm going to tell you something about this particular file. Fighting. Okay, there's a commercial. Gosh damn it! It's plenty quiet. What is it? Well, you know, it's for nothing, so I guess you can't complain anymore. There was a time when you got this stuff for nothing, right? Okay, 2, 1, 0, here we go. Skip ad. Oh, it is there. Okay, now I'm going to tell you something about what's on. This is a YouTube, I don't know, what do we call it? It's on YouTube, you know, you play it. This YouTube file, okay, let's call it a file, this YouTube file, it says Jeopardy theme. But here's the rub. Okay. There it goes again. This is, I swear to whatever God, Buddha, or anything, whatever deity you may believe in, this is, it says right here, Jeopardy theme song, 10 hours. I swear, this goes on for 10 hours. What have we gone through now? We've gone through 59, 1 minute. That's 1 minute. This file. Somebody had to go to YouTube, have a recording of this Jeopardy theme, and upload 10 hours of this. There's nothing in between. Look, I'll move to, that's, okay, it's 1:17. Here goes. This is 2 hours and 5 minutes. This is what you hear. Yes, because it's the Jeopardy theme for 10 hours. Let's move ahead now. Let's go to what? 4:25. At 4:25, after 4 hours and 25 minutes, the Jeopardy theme is still on. Okay. Maybe we should leave that on there for a second. Okay. So, you now know it's sword. What is sword swallowing? Sword? No, sword. Sword. The W must be silent. Sword swallower. What is sword swallower? That is, oh, I know that. Sword swallower. Why, that's the strangest occupation of a contestant ever on the show Jeopardy. Yes. And for 10 hours, what if I just left this on and walked away for like the next hour? You know, people would think I have a loop. People, and you know what? Technical people. People who know computers and know the sound things that work at all in there. They go, you know what he did? He made a file that's a loop. And when he's playing it on his media player, it's going around and round and round. Not so. Not so. This is a file on YouTube in case you ever need, because it might happen. You might have a party. You might have an interview or something, you know, and you're going to need 10 hours of this theme song, and it's going to be right there for free. Okay, you have to go by the little commercial that has in the beginning. But from the moment it starts till 10 hours later, there is no interruption unless I do it. We're now at 4 hours. Let's see what's going on. This is 6 hours and 23. I almost got it on the very note. Look at that. Dun, 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 dun. They don't even do the last note. They loop it, and there it is. Let's go to the very end, see what it sounds like. Here it is. This is 9 hours and 1 minute into this. I kid you not. And you could go look at it on your own YouTube display screen. Okay? This is it. It's going to end now soon. Dun, 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 dun. There's one more. There's one more. There might be two more. I don't know. We're now at where? We're at 9:02:13. We're coming up. Oh, wait a second. That means another hour? Wait, let's go even further. 9:21, 9:29, 9:37. I got to go. Wait, here we go. We're at 9:42. No, I'm going to move ahead. Here we go. 9:49. We're coming up. Here's the end. Here it comes. 10 hours later. This is Jeopardy! What? There's one more. 9:49? Okay, there's one more. This is it. This has got to be it. It says 10 minutes and... There's going to be one more? Nope, there's one more. Wow, the timer's weird. Okay, here we go. This is the final run of the theme from Jeopardy, 10 hours later. Oh, my God. I'm right at the end. Where is it? 9:50. Okay, 10 more seconds. So this has got to be the end. Here we go. Everybody. Oh, Christmas. 9:50. 16, 17, 8:55. How the heck? Where'd it go? Oh man, this is nuts. I guess when it's a 10 hour, it's 10 hours. I can't even believe it. Is this it? 9:52? No. 9:58. This has got to be it, right? No, that would be 2 minutes later. Hey, wait, hold on. How could it be over? This is it. This has got to be it. I don't understand how this works. You're listening to Cthulhu Chronicles right here on this. That, bump. Right. I just want to know if it ends with the final chord. You know, Merv wrote this. Did he ever think this would be? Oh, I can't get the end. 9:57. Here we go. 9:58. Okay, this is very, very tenuous. This is very tenuous. 9:59:45. Here we go. This is it. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, this is good. 10 hours. Come on. I want to do my promo. Here we go. This has got to be it. Here we go. I know it's it. It's 10 minutes. 10 hours. How could this be? Oh, 10:24. 10 hours and 24 seconds. Excuse me, I misread it. Here it goes. We're over now. There, it started. You see, it did. It ended. I went all the way there. They waited. They cut it. Oh, my God. Do you believe that? I don't know. My name is Frank Cthulhu. I'm the man whose name adorns the title of the show. There are many things on YouTube that are very long, and Jeopardy themes to 30. Actually, it's 31 seconds. Let's see. Well, here's the picture of Alex. Let's see. Wait a second. Jeopardy started in 1984? No. Oh, maybe they did a different version of it. Look at this. 15 minutes of the Jeopardy think music. This is all on. How does Jeopardy get all of this? Then they got another file. 23. Oh, no, wait. Oh, no, I can't believe this. There's a file that's 23 hours. 23 hours of the Jeopardy theme song. Who wants this? Who wants this? Am I going to play? I'm going to play. Let's go to quickly. Look, it's the same thing. What, 10 hours too short for you? Do you really love this tune? Merv Griffin. He's looking down on you, and he knows. Dun, dun, Okay. That's 16 seconds for the next one. This would be on. If I kept this on, it would be on till tomorrow night at this time, whenever you're listening. Okay, that 24 hours. I figured 10 would be nutty, but 24 hours? Whew. Boy, I never thought we'd get there. Okay. So anyway, there's that. Let's move that aside for now and get to something that's coming up. I want to say this because things are coming up on the show in the weeks to come. I keep telling you this. We're going to do a show on watching old movies and with the historical, to watch them for historical references. Yes, yes. They got to be old movies. When I say old, of course, and it's 2020, a lot of you people are going, well, you know, and this is how people go. And you're going like, well, you know, Frank, 15 years ago is old already. Yeah, that's right. But I'm talking about, let's say retro movies. That, because if you say the word retro, you go into an era of 50s, 40s and 50s, right? Retro. 40s is not retro, or we can go 30s. Anyway, anywhere up until the 60s, let's say, right? 30s through 60s. I'm going to talk about movies and give you a guide to watching them, not for the story, not for the characters in the story, not for the stars who play the characters in the story, not for the music that is scored for the characters in the story. Okay, nothing, none of that. But just to look around everything. Look at the set. Look at the things that are on, in, you know, the objects that are in the room, if it's a room, on the street, if the scene is on the street in old movies, and how much you can learn about history in whatever, so that wherever that's taking place. Now, I don't know about, I'm going to do this with stories, and I'm going to do this with movies that have stories that are in their present time. In other words, I'm not going to do the Ten Commandments. because that's a period piece, which means they made it in the 60s, right? Yeah, and they made it in the 60s, but it's about, you know, way back. Ten Commandments, for God's sakes. That's like B.C., way B.C. And way B.C., this is the way B.C. television network. And I'm gonna point out things and tell you where you should look, what you should look. What I'll do is I'll play some kind of a movie or everything, and we'll point it out. And it'll give you an idea. You can learn things without reading books. Not that I don't want you to read books. I want you to read books. I want you to read my books, especially. Why don't you go to Amazon and to Blurb? Okay, that's a commercial for that. But it's gonna be a good show. Okay, I told you about that. Now the train show, again, part two of the train show, because we did the train show a while back, whatever that means. The train show part two, train show with a little redux of, part one and then part two. More about trains and their place in pop culture through the years. Okay. And of course, something that people are betting on right now, I will never do. And I'm going to tell you all about it right now because I'm going to do it. Don't think I won't do this. I've been saying it and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm telling you. Here's a little promo for it. Oh, did that scare you? That's right. We're talking about the gun show. That's right. Guns. Very controversial thing these days. In the new millennium, they've always been, but now they've become a political tool. Guns. All kinds of guns. 300 shell surface, a wood gun, would go like this. Here you go. Just get it all ready and shoot. Ready? I'm going to be talking about these guns. There you go. 300 shell surface, vehicle. It's a vehicle? Let me just give you another gun here. Here's a Mosin nearby, 50 feet, foot shot. Now I'm going to tell you about guns and why pop culture made me love guns. Now, I'm not a gun freak, if that's what they call them. I'm not a person who marches. And that's a bullet down the table. I'm not a person who marches for, you know, the Second Amendment or believes about, you know, that there should be I mean, I'm for gun control. These things are dangerous. Let me get some more here. Shoot some more, will you? This whole, you know, this is an 8 minute. There you go. Here's one. That's a 12 gauge shotgun. Oh man, shotguns like a scatter gun. Love scatter guns. There you go. Oh, okay. All right. You got me. I'm going to be talking about how pop culture has made me love guns. Started very young. Okay. That's, I love that shotgun though. Listen to it. And I'm going to get into the emotion of it. And it's going to be a very, visceral cereal. That's a cereal show. It's a breakfast morning show. A visceral show. And tell you why I love guns. It's practically a brainwashing type thing, but I'm not going to get into it. But you will hear a lot of different guns. Even like a gun shop. This is an AR close at 3 feet. Okay. Yeah. You're going to be here.
Was an amazing
child. No commercials though. Look at that. You have to stop. It has to stop in the middle to go to a gun. Come on, go back to the gun. Skip the ad, go to the gun. There you go. Gun show is coming. The gun show is coming and you are not going to believe, and no one, will tell you this about themselves. But I do love guns. And I don't have any because I love them too much. And I'll tell you about that too. And I'll tell you where it all came from and how pop culture. All right. Jeez. Scared me. Look at, listen to these things, you know? They get more and more. Here's an AR bolt with a bolt release. Okay. Let's see what this sounds like. Just give me a little hint for the, just give me a little, you know, stuff about the gun show. Go ahead. Gotta load it up here. Okay. Oh, it's got a charging handle and a bolt release, so it's a little different here. Yeah, I'll get it. Okay. All right. I got the selector switch. I got it. It's going to be loud, so don't get scared. These are dangerous things to have. Oh, look. Here's one I love. Okay, a 1911 close. Oh yeah, handguns. Okay. Anyway, so we're gonna do the gun show. There's some gun show. There's some gunshots because there's gonna be a lot of gunshots, gun music, gun everything, and we'll be doing that. Promise. That's coming up. I know some people out there are betting like, yeah, when are you gonna have it? I bet you they maybe Las Vegas can take. Maybe your bookies can take a start taking bets. Is what do they take? Take bets. You know, dates, you know, bet on the date. What Thursday will there be the gun show? Now, what I also plan, because I do this now and then, and people are happy I do it. That is, there are many shows we have done, as I said, and there's the gun show, which we didn't do, which I promised to do. There's also another show that I swear it's 20, early in the 20s. Not in my 20s, but in the 20s, I promised to do a show. I still have the notes in my hand. Never did it. I don't know why. One thing leads to another. That's the old saying, and that's what happens. But I am going to do the gun show this year. Okay? Now you're going to hold me to that. And you bookies, you only have a certain amount of days now before, right? Because there's only those amount of days. Those amount of days. I don't want those days. Oh, who else is coming? I meant to say also here, where is it? Who else is coming on the show? Heather Jane's going to be back. Heather Jane, she comes onto my show and talks a lot. Heather, we love Heather. Heather's coming on, and I still, we talk about, maybe we'll do that around Halloween. We don't do, shows, we don't do Christmas shows, Halloween shows, Labor Day shows, Lincoln birthday shows, Washington's birthday shows, summer solstice shows. We don't do that. You know, there's a day for, there's a name of a day for every day of the year. There's a dog show. Well, dog show. We did a dog show about the dog show and someone was actually there. See, here's what I'm saying. If you go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com and you look and scroll down all the years, all the pages there are, it'll tell you what we did that particular week or 2 weeks on Thursday. Okay? So you find that, I don't know when it starts, but it starts at the point where we do have these shows in the archives, okay? And of course, the archives are bigger than they are. If you want to go to, you could also go to juicedtalk.com and go through those. Those are obviously more recent, but I'm talking about going through the years. This is, go through the years. I think it starts at 2008 or 6 or 7, I don't know, when we actually have those files. You know, I don't know, they're on the cloud. They're either on the cloud, in the clouds, or they're in the clear blue sky. We just pluck them out of the clear blue sky. And then you write to me at fcatolo@yahoo.com and say, you know, there's a show you did, even if it has a guest, I can't even think of someone right now, you know, that's it. But you know, you did it. Say, why don't you find that show and play a piece of it? Because I don't want to play the whole show. You know, classic Cattolo, right? Is that what you want to call it? You don't want to call it anything. You don't even want to listen. So what am I saying? I'm saying if you find something on that blog, which probably goes on a lot longer than a lot of other blogs, it's on Blogger. It's CattoloChronicles.blogspot.com. You go there, find one, you write to me and say, can you do that show? Or can you find, if you could find that show, please tell me that you could find that show and do it. There are shows people have requested I cannot find. But you're not going to think of those because you haven't, most people haven't been around since the beginning. But if you go to that and go through and find one, chances are we have it there. Starting with whatever year it starts, I guess. I don't know where it starts. But, and then write to me and I'll do it. That's what happened tonight, if I'm going to continue and do that. I may do that for a certain amount of time, and we'll stay for 2 hours or more. Anyway, I'm also going to get in touch with Mary Lee Gowland. Brings back many memories, Mary Lee Gowland. M.L. Gowland. Lives in Texas now, newer from California, right? Yeah. What was I thinking? Certainly not California. Is that the answer to something? Yes. That would be the answer. And in what state did Frank Cattolo read poetry, go to poetry? In what state? Can I develop the question? In California, Mary Lee used to organize poetry readings and, in fact, the other day I was trying to think of this actor who was always there and read his poetry. And I thought he was someone else. There are a couple of actors I always get mixed up, like Cameron Mitchell. I always get Cameron Mitchell mixed up with this particular actor who was there. I lost it again. Anyway, Mary Lee Gowland, Sea and Shore. See, it was a beautiful, did it on a boat or near a boat canal or somewhere. I don't know. She's a member of this huge country club. And we did it at a country club. I almost had his name again. Phil? No, it's not. I can't. She's a great poet, and she has put together a number of her best pieces into a book. She said, okay. I thought I just put them both in one volume. Yes. In one volume, Mary Lee. I'm going to have to write to her, unless I still have her email. Anybody out there have her email? Two Cats Watching and Lester's Widow, with the name of the original poetry books. And these sold very well. This was not, you know, it's very difficult to come out with a poetry book that sold. Of course, we're going back now to 1983-1, you know, Almea. Ooh, wow. And anyway, I'm going to have her on. She'll read some poetry that you'll like. Don't think you won't like it. You'll like it, especially maybe I'll play the Jeopardy theme behind it. How about that? We get people coming on to read poetry. Yeah, we could do a 10-hour show. You'd run out of all the bandwidth and all the RAM. I'd run out of the RAM. Anyway, she'll be on. Who else? Oh, John Biner's coming back on October 29th. John Biner, if you haven't listened yet, you could get the John Biner show with Tom Savino and I. That was a couple of weeks ago. And he's coming back on October 29th. And we're going to get on Zoom and have a whole bunch of fun. You will like this. You should listen to some John Biner stuff. Go to YouTube. I'm not saying you have to listen for 10 hours. I don't think there's a 10-hour file on John. But you know, he'll be there. And you can hear him on that. And of course, the gun show. Thank you. The gun show will be here. And yes, maybe, you know, by December 31st. One more. Another shot? No? Thank you for two shots. I was at 50 feet. Two shots at 50 feet. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. Anyway, that's what's going to be happening up till November. Then I don't know what. Then we'll have reports on the Civil War in the United States. And then maybe, I could do any, no. Sorry, Phil, no political stuff. Not real political stuff, you know, only stuff that, So the gun show and all that stuff and everything's coming on. Now, someone asked, you know what, I was going to tell you all about, you know, there's another show. I know it sounds split thoughts, but this is the same thought trying to come through when about old shows. Okay. There was an old show I did about, people finding the face of Jesus in normal objects, like a potato chip, and a lady who saw, in her bathtub before it was cleaned. And the way the color came with the face of Jesus. And I was going to tell you about one more incident I've had. I did a show where, I'm just going to take too much explanation. The point is, there was something that went on here, with a guest who would never come on again because I laughed, not at her, but at some, made jokes at some stuff. And she was very serious about a book she wrote, where she traveled through time and back in time, from this specific, hotel. There was a hotel in San Diego, and she walked through a certain area of the hotel and went to heaven or something. Heaven? Was it back? No, yeah, she went to heaven. And people talked to her. She went, it was a portal through time. So she went to another time. I mean, another era, another time, you know, 100 years back or whatever. But her book was not about that. Her book was about all these people in heaven who talked to her, and she wrote the book, and there's drawings of these people. Now, you can imagine if you've ever heard me on radio, this kind of thing, when I bring my multiplicity, you can imagine some of the things I thought and told her while we were talking about that book. But anyway, if I could find that show, I would play it again. I don't know. Maybe she'd sue me. Why? For what? Right? I don't even remember her name. But my point is this. If you go through the... Oh, look at that. Sounds like someone breathing, doesn't it? That's my hand going over the microphone and blowing it, you know, waving into the air. So if this was like a drama radio, I could go like, sudden, my heart. Suddenly I saw something. I didn't know what it was. I was getting scared. Could it be a creature? Could it be a ghost? Oh, that wasn't a gun. That was my hand. I hit the microphone. Oh, please work, microphone. Okay. Where was I? I was here. In the world of Frank Cotolo, now I'm thinking, hey, well, it's 10 o'clock. So, in real time, because this is a live show, it's 10 o'clock. And, let's see, where is that? What am I looking for now? I'm looking for something we could play so we could take a break and everybody could go to the, go to the window. Go to the window. Where do you want to go? Want to go to the bathroom? Want to get something to drink? My mouth is like really dry. And I ran out of coffee. Where's that thing I have? I know, right here. It is a thing. I could play this. I'm going to play something, okay, here. Oh, no. What happened? Oh, there. Is that it? Did it work? Yeah. That was a weird... I got one of those circles on my cursor. A circle on my cursor means I'm not going home. I know. And I'm going to play this. And then where's that radio thing? I don't know. And then I'll play this. See? Who does this, huh? Where's my PSA? Here, we'll do a... We'll get old, like my good old pal Wolf to do a PSA. And then this will be just like the old... Oh. Yeah, the old show, which is, where's the radio one? Where's one that says radio? We can hear that for the first time in a long time. SR, it's under R. Does it say radio? SR. Wow, remember the shortstop? Ain't your stop at the shortstop. That's Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, that's a Jesus Oldman, who wasn't Jesus Oldman at the time. I know what you're saying. You're saying, Frank, I have not listened that long. And right about now, I'm getting pretty tired. Where is it? R? It's PR. Where's the radio thing? SRN, no matches, Tavares, the Lambs. I can't find it. I can't find the radio thing. I want the radio thing because I was going to go to the bathroom quickly. PSA. Oh, it should say PSA radio, maybe? PSA, here, wait, PSA suicide? No, that's not it. PSA West Nile? Where's the radio? Should be before, after Paul McCartney and before... And that's funny how I can't find this thing. Joe Walsh, remember him? Yeah, PSA for a radio. It's right here. Jeez. Let's do this. Go get yourself something to drink or any thing of water or something. Come back. Run off to the bathroom. Come back. And we're not going to do... and I'm gonna do something. But I'm going to be on for a little bit more. So if you want to stay up, stay with me. I'm Frank Cotola, man's name is Don's title on the show.
I want to tell you to do one thing, though, and if you'll pay attention to me, it might save your life. I want you to buckle up and live. Seatbelts and shoulder harnesses can be your second chance. Now, if you never had an accident, you could be next, because you gamble every time you get in your car. Now, you cut down the odds against you getting killed, you understand, by buckling up your seatbelt or your harness. Use them as advised by your car's manufacturer, and have your passengers use them, too. Automobile accidents can be deadly. Be sure you get that second chance. Buckle up and live.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. Music, weather, sports, and news, it's radio. The people choose. Everybody's swinging to the swinging voice of radio, the people's choice. Big fry, small fry, dawn to dawn, it's radio. Now turn to mine. Most choice,
East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes us see. Whoa, what did you do, run out of bullets? Come on. What happened? Why did it stop? Oh, give me loading. Don't forget, this is Cotolo Chronicles. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name is George, the title of the show. The gun show is coming. There's going to be a gun show. And you can just hear it when you listen for it. Can I thought these? Yes. Because, come on, shoot some guns for God's sake. Thank you. The gun show is coming. The gun show. Gun show is coming. One is by land, two is by sea. The gun show is coming. And it'll be from Frankie. Yeah, shoot some guns. A lot of guns going to be coming up here on the gun show. So now, here we are. This is like the old days, isn't it? Yeah, one of the old days, Frank. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. That's what I call this, wonderful radio. And I bring my multiplicity to you on this wonderful radio night where you can go, what did I say? Juiced Talk. Now, on Juiced Talk, you'll find, you don't even know how far back they go. But, you know, pretty soon, now that it's October, now that I think about it, it's almost time. Well, listen to this. I was going to say it's almost time for New Year. Well, in a way. But that'll be after the Civil War here in America. So we'll come back then. It's about the New Year. I'm not going to be one of those guys because I couldn't be, I couldn't be one of those guys. Phil Hong said to me recently, he said, Phil Hong from SRN Media Works, he said, you know, we need someone like you who for political, commentary on, on the left. It's kind of like in the middle of the left. I'm kind of in the, no, you know what? I'm not. It's way over. It's pinned. That's not true either. I have my conservative side. Okay. And we all do, the normal things that keeps you conservative, the meals you have, how you keep your house. Maybe I'm not. Anyway, let's just not get into that at all. My point being that there are some things. I remember 2008, we broadcast, there was a debate. It was, I don't know what year that was, 2006? Well, it was George Bush and John Kerry in a debate. And we aired it with my comments. It was live, okay, and I talked. Which of course everybody wanted to hear because I was, and I take sides. I guess I did. I don't know. I don't remember what I did. I don't even know if it exists anymore. So don't ask for it. But we always did the, things bringing our multiplicity to the show. Now, also, if you'd like me to do another Cotolo Cafe before I completely refurbish my piano, because it's actually fun with a couple of, keys. They're not missing, but they're kind of dead. And it's pretty much in tune. Like you would know, maybe you wouldn't know. Maybe you don't have that kind of an ear. They call it an ear when it actually is a talent for listening, but they call it an ear in music. Oh, I have an ear for music, An ear means you got a certain capability of the structure of music, and you've done enough, heard enough songs, done enough songs, sang enough songs, played enough songs, or you're a musician to have an idea of, I know how that goes. It goes like this, stuff like that. I could do that. See, there's a lot of things I could still do while this show continues into my later years. The warm September of my, it's true though, but of all the shows, I can imagine doing. It's the gun show! It's coming to a station near you. That's right. It's a podcast. It's an essay. It's a verbal essay. You're not going to believe this, and I'm going to tell you something. I am going to tell you what is going on behind me as I tell you about the gun show. It's the gun show! Pop culture has romanticized guns. What has that done to children of the 50s and where they are now? I can't believe this. Are you ready? I know that's a vexatious sound on its own, but let me tell you something. Okay, take a breath. That's an AK-47 from a file on YouTube. This file is 10 hours long. It's an AK-47 going 10 hours long. There's not even a break. Look, I'll move it. Okay, this is now the fourth hour. All right, so it's like, and there are other, we got, there's other gun sounds everywhere. We got plenty of them. There's only 1 hour of gunshots. Oh, he's loading. Just 1 hour? Come on. And then when does it start? It's already a minute, two. He's gonna hit it. Here we go. This is only an hour. The gun show! All sorts of guns. You're gonna hear this gun. The relax. This is relax. You know what? I swear. This is the title of this file. Goes on only for an hour. I said, just an hour? Yeah, just an hour of gun show. Oh no! Hello? I was sorry, I got disconnected there for a second. The gun, shot a hole in the gun. Okay, we're on again. I did it. Yeah, there's gonna be a little hole in that when you listen. You're listening to this now and it's, not live. There's gonna be a little hole in that. Okay. Now what I did, it got so funny that I hit the wrong button. You know, this gun, this goes for an hour. Oh, that's what I was going to tell you, the name of this file. The file says, I hope you can still hear me. It was disconnected. I don't know if that, how that affected going out there. If you people have to reconnect or not, but it's screwed, I guess, unless it just came right back. It was very quick. I picked it up again, right? Okay. It's called 1 hour of relaxing gunshot sound effects. 1 hour of relaxing gunshot sound effects. This is what's considered relaxing. Some people, you know, it's funny. Some people are going to think, my God, did someone shoot him? And I laugh, right? No, this is 1 hour of gunshot. And when it's time for what? The gun show! That's all relaxed. This is a relaxing thing. Just sit back, just off a nice brandy, and hear the gunshots. You know, I don't think I've ever done that, but the chances of doing it are very good because it's just me. I have to handle all this stuff, and I don't even know if I have time to do 10 books, right? How did this show start? We don't even know. I don't even know if I have time to do this, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this. I got to find I'll tell you about the latest face of Jesus some other time, because I just do what I got to do, you know. 104, if I go to 104.09, 104.44, 104.41, this will do it. Here's me talking about 10 books. Well, this goes on for what? This will go on for longer than we have. But let's put some on here right now. I'll get yourself a drink. You get yourself a drink. And we'll come back. This is from May 30th, 2012. Remember 2012? Maybe you saw the movie. It was the date, the year that the Mayans, them old Brazilian Indians or whoever they were down there in South America, Central America, the Mayans had a calendar and everybody was going crazy because they said, well, according to the Mayan calendar, the world ends in the year 2012. I forgot his name now, Brechnik, the German guy. The producer there who did Independence Day and, what was his name? I forgot his name. Emmerich. Boy, sometimes shot right through the two doors, saloon doors, you get the right thing. Emmerich. I don't remember his first name. Did a movie called 2012 about the world ending and people, you know, mankind having to be saved on boats or whatever, something, whatever. But this was done in 2012, which is already, think about it, almost 9 years old. Whew. It was from May. You know, I just wonder if I'm still, I wonder if those people who were listening and if they didn't have time, I wonder if they have to reconnect or if they just, I don't know. I know I'm just going to go on here, play this thing and we'll move on. And this is me in 2012 talking about 10 books that were considered something. You'll hear about it on here. And then I'll be back before we drive this thing home. Wake up, it's night, for God's sakes. The Gun Show is coming.
Second chance. Buckle up.
Hey.
And live.
He did that already. Isn't that something? This is coming. I think,
and we talked about,
that's me.
We talked about, well, we talked about a lot of things as we usually do. We just let it go. This is a, and I did forget to tell you to replenish your precious bodily fluids as we go along. And you can do that by, of course, getting your, various beverages. I've already had my coffee. I don't have any more coffee left. Do I have any left? No, it's gone. But I did have, my coffee, black as hell, strong as death, and bitter as a fried grasshopper leg. Although I've been switching off from sweet as love to bitter as a fried grasshopper's leg. It's just been going back and forth. Not a lot of sugar in my life, but the sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, sugar outside. Remember that? Was that Teresa Brewer? So here's what happened. Publishers Weekly came out with a, I came out with a list called, We Fix the Top 100 Novels. That's a list. The list, We Fix the Top 100 Novels. And the staff sounded off on which novels now, they add to the modern library's top 100. So this is, you know, this is all subjective. I understand that. You understand that. This is all subjective. But the website, this is a piece written by Emily Temple. Emily Temple at... I'm going to tell you the website. If you want to go read it up later and look it up, you can. FlavorWire. Never heard of it. Cultural News and Critique. They never heard of me. FlavorWire. And here is 10 epidemically overrated books. So this is in response to the top 100 by Publishers Weekly. The article got the people, got us, the people here at, what is the name of it again? FlavorWire. I'm reading this from Emily's piece. The article got them thinking about which novels we think are lauded entirely too much, whether by the press or the public at large. Now, keep in mind, she says, this isn't a list of bad books. It's a list of good books to our minds that just seem to get more accolades than they deserve. We're not talking about judgment, okay? When we read, we like something, we don't like it, we dislike it for various reasons. Well, this is totally judgmental. This is totally subjective judgmental. And I don't even think that there's going to be much. But we're going to read some of the stuff and go along with it and see what they feel. And it's not in any order. So, men, this is not bad books, they say, but they think these are really overrated books. You know what? Why are people through the years saying these are great books, great pieces of literature? They're not great pieces of literature, according to these people. It says... in our humble opinion, of course, yeah. So click through to read the list of terrifically, epidemically, perpetually overrated books and add or subtract our picks in the comments. So why don't you do that? If you don't know of these books, if you've never read these books, here's all you need to know. Number one, these books have been applauded, lauded, and reviewed with great admiration over the years. For whatever reasons, by the public and by critics. So you can write it down. Write this down. If you don't know the book, or if you never read it, or you want to go read it, you can still go out there and get it. Go out there. Well, you don't have to go out anywhere anymore. You know? You get onto Amazon or whatever. You can buy the hard copy. Send it in the mail. The real mail, not in the email. When you want to get it in the email, then I guess you've got to buy it digitally. So, you know the drill. I don't have to tell you this. So you either know it or maybe you have read it. I'm not going to underestimate your reading prowess. Not that it is prowess. Boy, everything's judgmental. So you two people sit in a room. Boy, it's hot. The other person goes, man, I love this heat. I don't even feel warm. You feel warm? I'm warm. You cold? I'm not cold. Are you cold? I'm suffocating. I can't breathe. You can't breathe. Listen, I got a full lungs. Everybody, everything. One conflict after another. Every way you turn. Okay, number one on the list is certainly something that's been more lauded. And why doesn't this thing work right? What's going on with this? What's going on I hate when this happens. It's locked. Is it locked? Oh, great. Oh, great. Okay, I put it down. I reduced it. Now I bring it up. Is it going to work? Now it works. There it goes. Why does that happen? The browser suddenly doesn't work. And I reduce it. I minimize it. And then it comes back up. J.D. Salinger's The Catcher in the Rye. Here's what they say about this here. Whenever we tell people that we didn't like The Catcher in the Rye, they immediately demand, well, when did you read it? The prevailing wisdom, after all, is that it's one of those novels you have to read at the right time. That is the pinnacle of your own self-pitying, frustration-filled adolescence in order to really get its brilliance. Well, we tried at the right time and still thought Holden, the main character, was totally obnoxious. He is, after all, one of the most divisive characters in literary history. And we tried again later and came to the same conclusion. That doesn't leave the book without merit, of course, but it does beg the question, why do high schools and young men everywhere revere this tale of the wanderings of a bitter, privileged slacker so much? As South Park's Kyle complained, it's just some whiny, annoying teenager talking about how lame he is. All right, now, that particular review of Catcher in the Rye is, to my eyes, absurd. Okay, I'm not saying you have to study literature, but I mean, you certainly can look at it like that on the surface, but none of this stuff on the surface this is one particular person, okay, who represents a feeling, a mood, not necessarily a generation, but is in a common battle with identity. And here's what gets me. Of all the people I could think of quoting on why they would not like or do not like Catcher in the Rye as a literary piece, Kyle from South Park is not one. A fictional cardboard cutout cartoon character is who is being quoted to talk about how bad this book is to this person. I'm going to handhold the mic because I got to look at the screen. And what do you care? You don't know. If I was on cam now, hi. And this is another reason why I can't be on cam. I would just always look over and go, hi. Hi, it's me, Frank Tolo. Hi. You know, they still want me to do, put a cam so we can look at your face while you talk. Why? Why? Here's the second one, Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce. James Joyce. Not only is anyone who claims to have read this book all the way through probably lying, they've also probably wasted a lot of hours that could have been spent better elsewhere. There is merit to be had here, but you can pretty much read 15 pages and get the gist. Nothing else will materialize if you keep slogging on, so if you read any further, it should just be for fun. Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce is not anywhere near as lauded as Ulysses, which was his famous stream of consciousness book, which I'm not going to claim to have read the entire Ulysses. I haven't, but Ulysses is a great book because you can open it up anywhere and just read and get into a pattern, a rhythm of words. And I think I'm the last person to judge anything particularly serious, although I think that I can really touch things that are very serious, because I'm not serious. It's that whole thing about, having this, great sense of humor, and it allows you to really embrace, maudlin almost, you know, just be able to see and feel, the fabric of seriousness. So I wouldn't put James Joyce's Finnegan's Wake or Ulysses on my top 10 book list, but you know, it's some of these books have passed PASSED, they passed the test of time. So just the fact that Emily is talking about Finnegan's Wake. Come on. Come on. And a lot of these books, you know, have gotten these particular opinions about them because they were so, at the time, revolutionary. You know, it's difficult to look back and see something that was done a while back when nobody would do it, and now it's so tame. I don't know if Tropic of Cancer is on this list, but, you know, there was a time in this country, in the free world, you know, I'm saying this, in North America, where you could not get a copy of a Tropic of Cancer because it was filthy. It was considered filthy. It used dirty words. And it wasn't a humor. It wasn't good humor for medicine. You know? You couldn't get it. So the law prohibited you from reading it. Think about that. That's here in the free world. So don't give me that stuff. What we're reading are some very spoiled people writing about stuff that you can make all, I don't care, comment all you want about it. You don't like it, you like it, you don't like it. But I think you should address the importance of certain pieces of literature. That's a third one here. Wuthering Heights by Emily Bronte. Let's see what she says about Wuthering Heights. Why is this book considered one of the most classic romances of all time? All of the characters are despicable and cruel to one another. The plot is awkwardly structured, and it's all very boring and depressing, if you ask us. We realize, at the time of its writing, the book was groundbreaking, and we certainly thank the Bronte sisters for their contribution to women being recognized as great authors. But seriously, it's 165 years later, so why are we all still reading this book? You might still be reading it because there still is something to learn from people who wrote about this stuff back then. I don't imagine that maybe it's 165 years from now. I don't imagine people. I'm saying this because I don't imagine people are sitting back talking about the literary value of Twilight or its 130 billion. I'm making that number up, and by that I mean many, many, many imitators. Go to the teen section. Twilight has spawned an entire genre of kids and vampires and werewolves and superstitious things and the whole motif of blood and death. That's okay compared to bullying, right? I don't know. I don't get it. I'm not a big fan of this book, but as she says, okay, it's got some problems. White Noise. Don DeLillo. I've never read this book. I don't know where White Noise. Here's White Noise. But it says here, we hate to say it, but we expected more from this novel after everyone and their skinny jean-clad sister suggested we read it. The concept is good, and there are a few scenes that stick with us, but as a whole, we found it disappointingly plotless. White Noise. Now, I don't think this is the White Noise that is the movie with Michael Keaton. I don't know this book. I got to tell you, I don't know this book. And I don't know how old is this book. So I don't know why. And I don't know that this book is so classically placed. Is this a stakes-placed book? I don't think so. I'll have to look into that. See, I'm going to look into things. The next one, I have a real problem with whatever she's going to say about this. And I'll tell you why, because recently, I'll tell you why, let me tell you about that. I'm in a bookstore, you know, that Bookbusters, Bookbinders, whatever that was called, Bookblasters, the one that went out of business, the chain all over the place, and now it's BAM, Books and Music. BAM stands for Books and Music. BAM! BAM! I like walking around that place. I walk around that store, and I go, BAM! I just make that sound. And the people who work there look at me going, what? Remember I told you about I met this guy who is a salesman there and he has no reason to have a job. We talk about all the jobs that are needed by people out there. And this guy is retired. He's got plenty of money. He buys his wife diamond necklaces. And in his spare time, he's working at BAM. BAM! I told him, too. I said, you know, I find this disturbing that you can afford a diamond watch for your wife and to take her to Hawaii. And in your spare time, because you're retired, you're working here. At BAM! This is good. Go into BAM. if you got a BAM in your neighborhood, and just walk in and go, BAM! And watch everyone turn around. Anyway, I was in BAM, and I saw they have a table that said paperbacks we like, or classics of paperbacks. They call them classics. And here's a Jack Kerouac's On the Road, a book that, of course, just went viral in the Beat Generation of the 50s and put Jack Kerouac on the map. And then his own ilk, although this person wouldn't consider him ilk at the time, highly intellectually, academically oriented author, Truman Capote, put down this book, On the Road, and put down the writing of Jack Kerouac. He said, that's not writing, it's typing. So he didn't like it then. On the Road has become a thematically, an anti-establishment book. And if you want to read, I'll give you, so write this one down there. It's not my favorite Kerouac book. My favorite Kerouac book is Dharma Bums, D-H-A-R-M-A. Dharma, in Eastern religion, means truth. Dharma Bums is a book. And, you know, what happened? It's not writing, it's typing. He typed it. Anyway, here's what she says. We're afraid we mostly agree with Truman Capote. Look at this. I didn't even read this. And it says right here. Look, famously, that's not writing, it's typing. This is her first line. I didn't even realize, read this. Again, we definitely get how this novel made a splash with its uncommon form and call to freedom, but was it really, as the Times wrote, this is what the New York Times wrote, quote, the most beautifully executed, the clearest and most important utterance yet made by the generation Kerouac himself named years ago as Beat, and whose principal avatar he is. Can you imagine that? They said he is. cultural principal avatar. He is. Even then, they were. I don't know why these rules are broken all the time. People, because they see it in print, you think you could write like that? Don't do it. Don't do it. Do it the correct way. Why aren't you afraid to be different? Because if you are, then you just go get yourself a copy of Laughter. Is good medicine. Okay. So she goes on to write. And remember, the Beat Generation came from Jack Kerouac. Beat. And from that word, beat, we got lots of things. You've been here. You've heard the Beatnik shows. You've heard those shows. Have you? If you haven't, go to the archives. Look in the archives. You can't find them there? Come back here. My name is Frank Atoma, a man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I'll be doing all sorts of stuff. I do things not again and again. I do them in different flavors. It's like ice cream. It's like, I mean, his show was ice cream. And we heard his show on ice cream. Yeah, but it was on strawberry ice cream this time. And then last time it was on vanilla ice cream. Did he talk about vanilla ice cream? Yeah, but this time they put some chocolate in it. It was chocolate and vanilla. It was Neapolitan. It was vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. 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 Or as they say it in England, strawberry. Not strawberry. Strawberry. As we read On the Road now, it's an endless, pointless, drunken road trip spattered with some charmingly outdated slang. And she says they like the Subterraneans much better. It's another good book. But On the Road was the first one. Of course, I don't need to defend it. Write the titles of these books down as Dr. Fabliano goes there. Write these down, so that you know, and you can look it up, and maybe you can read these books. What else? What's next? Moby Dick. Or, did you know that Moby Dick, if you get a good copy of Moby Dick, it says Moby Dick or The Whale by Herman Melville. Not the white whale, Moby Dick or The Whale. That would be like, think about it, think about books that had to explain the name in the title. Then explain the title in the title. How about this? White Fang or The Wolf. Think about Frankenstein, or actually Frankenstein does have a subtitle. That makes sense. Subtitle of Frankenstein, the original one, is Prometheus Unbound. So let's look. Dracula or The Vampire. So Moby Dick is Moby Dick or The Whale. So imagine when this came out, this giant book, this huge piece, this investment in passive activity, Moby Dick. I mean, there are pages in this book about how to tie a certain kind of knot. I admit this book is just filled with words and stuff. Is Moby Dick overrated? Under? I don't know. I don't know what you get out of it is what matters. But here's Moby Dick or the whale. But you imagine if you were with your friend back in the days when this came out and this was a hot book and someone said, you know, I'm reading Or the Whale. You're what? What's that? Or the Whale. So, you mean Moby Dick? Yeah, I'm reading that book about Moby Dick. Who names whales anyway? You can make, you know, you if you want to tear things apart, you can do it. That's what comedians do anyway. Moby Dick. Now, Moby Dick, of course, is the origin of Starbucks. And people who buy Starbucks coffee don't know and go to Starbucks coffee shops and what have you. And now the name Starbucks is totally identifiable with coffee. And yet Starbucks got its name from a character in Moby Dick, one of the sailors. Why is his name Starbuck? But here's it. Moby Dick. That's the whale. Captain Ahab named the whale he was going after because he didn't want to say, I'm going after the whale, the white whale. It's, you know, it should be called the white whale because there weren't many white whales. That was the whole idea. There's a whole nother involved piece of symbolic themes and everything going on with Moby Dick, the white whale. He named him. Now, the Moby Dick. I say, Ahab, why do you have, what happened to your leg? It was eaten. It was eaten by a whale. A whale? Not just any whale. A whale I call Moby Dick. Why do you call him that? Well, he has to have a name, doesn't he? Name Moby Dick. Somewhere in the book, there's got to be an explanation. I know you're asking me. You know, there's so many things I've read. I have no idea. What? I don't remember so many things. And I remember so many things, but I don't remember so many things. Why is Moby Dick called Moby Dick? Because Captain Ahab decided to call him Moby Dick? I'm going to get that whale. That whale? What whale? The whale? Or the whale? No, that one male. The one with the name Moby Dick. Here's what she says about this. Is there any chance that this book would get across an editor's desk in its current state today? We think not. All the good stuff is buried under Melville's endless self-indulgent verbiage. In our literary culture, the book has become a behemoth to slay in itself. And such a quest would obviously be cheapened by skipping all the bits about the specifics of whaling tools. But that said, wouldn't it actually be a better book if those were left out? No. No, 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 no. Now, you know what she says? In this book, in this state, how would it get across an editor's desk? It wouldn't, but that doesn't mean this book isn't any good or that it doesn't have an authenticity to it, an understanding, symbolic. It doesn't mean that because today I can't tell you. I am going to tell you right now. I guarantee you this. I'm not saying this because I know I have books that won't get across editor's desks. So do tons of people. People who have written better books than I have written. There are Moby Dicks these days. I'm now using the word Moby Dick as in great, grand, spectacle novels there's no way they're ever going to be published if somebody doesn't publish them personally. It's not going to happen. So what is she talking about? She's making it sound like, well, you know, if this culture, Flavor Wire people, they're saying like, you know, if it was really good and it was tightened up, we'd publish it. Nobody would read it because nobody wants it. Maybe if Moby Dick was a zombie whale, you know, what they're doing? They took some of the classics and they made them into zombie books. But here's this. You talk about this. Listen, has anyone heard this? This isn't just me. How about this movie that's coming out soon? I don't know when, but soon. It's called Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Do you know about this? They're taking Abraham Lincoln, 16th president of the United States, fictionalizing his life before he went into politics. What did he do? He hunted vampires. In these United States of America, where he became the president, 16th president, it's called Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Now, there was a movie a long time ago called Young Abe Lincoln, with Ray Milland, I forgot his name. I forgot the actor's name. Anyway, and called Young Abe Lincoln. In fact, Henry Fonda played played Abe Lincoln. Maybe he played Young Abe Lincoln. Maybe that was him. And Young Abe Lincoln, in this story, and this might be a little storybook type, and it's patriotic, you know, it's not, but still, he's not going after vampires, all right? Now, I do condone taking the history, a real history, and messing it up. I think it's a great idea, okay? I just think it's sad if along the way there are people who've never read Dracula, or zombies, or anything zombie-like, classic zombie things, because then they go and they think that's like so original. That's what bothers me, is that inside of Moby Dick there must be tens of 20s or 30s of things that are written about, said, just like Starbucks, things that have popped out of that and inspired other things that wouldn't be were it not for the book, in the state that the book is in. So that's so much for you and Matt. E.M. Forster, not Forrester, Forster, F-O-R-S-T-E-R, Passage to India. This was a very famous movie later in the 70s, 80s, or 60s. I don't even know. This is one of the few points on which we agree with Jonathan Frazen. I don't know, who is Jonathan Frazen? We know that at the time of its publication, its discussion of race relations was incendiary, but it doesn't seem so now, and the retroactive knowledge of it just doesn't make up for the thin characters and plotting plot. Plotting plots, you know, what's not a plotting plot? The plots were based on A, B, C, D, and dramatic. I mean, it's like saying, like, Shakespeare had to make a ghost tell Hamlet his father died. And that was the very one. I mean, he didn't know his father was murdered. He thought he died. So what does Hamlet, so Shakespeare's sitting around going, what do? I know. I'll have his father come back as a ghost. Oh, that's so cheap. See what I'm saying? I want to go back to On the Road again because I forgot to tell you. I was in BAM. BAM! I'm in BAM, and I saw that book on the table. That's not what I meant to talk about. I picked it up, and I went to the last line. Now, I have this thing. I know I'm a writer, and I know I'm closer to words and to literature than a lot of people in a lot of different ways, okay? But I always do two things when I see a book, whether I've read it, not read it, or certainly if I've not read it. I look at the first line of a book and the last line of a book. I think these are very important lines. How it begins, the very first words and the very last words. Now, sometimes this can be more than a sentence, but I think that if you do look at great, great pieces of work that anyone who says they're great, even you don't like them, okay, you will find great first and last sentences, some of them very long. And that's what I love On the Road Again. So listen to me. If you never, ever, ever read, I hate doing that, and I don't like when people do that. Why am I doing it? I can't say never. I say never, ever, ever, as opposed to this. You know, it's long. There's longer than never. There's not longer than never. There's never, period. But never read anything but the first and last. If you read the last paragraph, which is one long sentence, a lot of commas, and very complex sentence, it's not writing, it's typing, but that, okay, you read that, you get a sense of how wonderful the contents must be before that line that ends the book. And On the Road Again has a wonderful, long, last line, and it makes you, it has to make you want to go back. So where do you go? Go to the beginning. Start at the end, read that last line. Don't worry, you know, it's not going to ruin a book for you. Go back and then read the first line. And right there and then, you should have a general feeling as to where you want, how deeply you want to go now to the middle, which is everything in between the first and last line. But it just so happened that I did that, and then it popped up on this list. Next on this list is the book Twilight, which we talked about a few minutes ago. Stephanie Meyer. You know, I couldn't tell you the name of the author of that book. My life depended on it before this. And the cover of the book is like very white hands holding a red apple. Twilight by Stephanie Meyer. There's only one line here. I haven't read this book, okay? And I know that regardless of what it's about, I am absolutely sure that Stephanie Meyer used wonderful words to tell this story. I know it. Because you just, the crap just doesn't, total crap just doesn't get around as much as something like this. The same thing with the beginning of the Harry Potter stuff. I mean, later on might have been crap, continued to make money, do on, but right at the beginning, all right, there's that this authenticity, this pureness that starts the series or what have you. And certainly the imitations are imitations, okay? But this is one line here, she writes. She says, "We really don't think we have to explain this one to you, but the fervor for the series of books this banal bothers us every day." Fervor for a series of books this banal bothers us every way. So I know, I mean, I could probably rip apart this book if I read it and find a lot of, to be objective about it. But, you know, this is the idea is a little, I don't know, kids and vampires, love and blood sucking and immortality. I mean, I can immediately, up the top of my head, think of like motifs and themes and stuff, but that's not it. But anyway, it's on here. I did not know, by the way. I knew this book was very popular. I knew this book sold billions and billions, and even Carl Sagan's people bought it. I don't know. But I did not know that it got terrific reviews. Then again, it said this is not just reviews or. The next book is called The Great Gatsby, F. Scott Fitzgerald, for damn sure. Certainly one of the great American authors, along with all the people of that time, including William Faulkner and, of course, Mr. Ernest Hemingway and those guys. Here, F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby. Oh, put away the pitchforks. We know this is a great book. The prose is impeccable and the setting of the mood divine, but we just don't think that it's truly the be-all, end-all epitome of the great American novel, as everyone seems to claim. Or at least it's not anymore. There's a little editorial interpretation reading Emily's stuff. These particular explanations don't ring as anything but here's what I think. And nobody cares what she thinks. Books are intimate experiences. They're things that you, although it's a passive activity when you read a book because you're not taking place, you're reading about stuff that's going on, you're having an affair one-to-one with a book. Now, you might want to say that with a movie, but you don't collectively read books. You read a book by yourself. Maybe if you watch a movie by yourself, you have an intimate experience, whatever. But the thing is that people who like books, 10 people in the room who loved a certain book love it for all sorts of different reasons. And by the way, anybody who can write prose impeccably and set a mood divinely has indeed written the great American novel. It's the language, okay? The Great Gatsby. See, when you didn't like, Great Gatsby has overtones and undertones of people who are very, what did she call them? What did she call them in the Catcher in the Rye? I don't know. Oh, here's one. Okay. But anyway, it's, you know, torture is torture. That's the end of that. Here's one I could never read. And there's nothing it could ever do for me I couldn't understand. And they made a movie of this here. It's called Jonathan Livingston Seagull. It should have been Jonathan Livingston or the Seagull. This guy, Richard Bach, who I don't know if he wrote anything else again ever, but boy, there was a time, I'm telling you, in the 70s, everyone was reading this book. And it had pictures in it, and pictures of a seagull. Seagull. It should have been called Jonathan Livingston, the Seagull. Why does the seagull have to have a name? Here's what she says. Several people we knew in college were obsessed with this novella. It's a short book. That's what a novella is, only like 18,000 words or something. It's not, you know, several people were obsessed. A spiritual classic about unlocking your potential as a seagull. And it had an impressive run, topping the New York Times bestseller list in the 70s. But it just never resonated with us. We prefer our allegories slightly more distinguished. Thank you. Jumping seagulls. They were absolutely, these people were upset about the allegory. I'm not upset. I just don't think it has impeccable prose. I don't think it, it's too obviously an allegory. I don't think something should be that openly. And I think it open and blatant. But then again, now you look at, you know who's a great writer? The guy who wrote, what was his name? Siegel? The guy who wrote Love Story? I mean, now his name escapes me. He wrote Love Story as a novella. It's a short book. And it's like, you know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, they made a movie. Everyone went nuts over it. And it's a beautiful little piece in itself, even though it's, it has overtones, undertones, and stuff like that. But he's a, oh, I just had his name again and went right by me. I only bring him up because here's a book, here's a novella that has, as my guy really could write, Portnoy's Complaint, he also wrote. Portnoy's Complaint, which I'm sure they didn't like, the people here wouldn't like, because there's too much like Catcher on the Rye, because it has that childhood thing. What was Portnoy's Complaint? Oh, boy, we'll talk about that whole thing. I forgot his name. Go look it up. Write this down. You're writing these other books down and telling you about, so maybe you can read them or do stuff, something. Oh, look, that's it. Those are the 10 books. Ta-da-da-da-da-da. I just did them all.
The Gun Show is coming. There's 10 books. Wow, I couldn't have timed that better if I actually timed it. By the way, Portnoy's Complaint and Love Story were not written by the same guy. I made a mistake back then. And I'm writing it now. I hope you enjoyed that. The Gun Show is coming. Now here's Frank Catolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. The Gun Show is coming. Here comes the Gun Show. Yes, that's 2 hours of... What pop culture did to make kids love guns? Kids not even out in the Wild West. Kids. How I be thought. Oh, well. Keep shooting there. Don't give up shooting. Here he goes. My name is Frank Catolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I'll be back with the trigger cocked and the cocked trigger. In the meantime, go buy my books. Go, Amazon, blurb.com. Come on, I like looking at my bank statement and seeing those Amazon money just trinkle in. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be located. I'm shooting away. The Gun Show is coming. Keep watching for the Gun Show. Oh, wow. Do I have anything else to shoot? Yes, but I have nothing more to say.